sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Hey guys, this is Judy. Just Judy today. This is another one of our mini break episodes. How are you? How are you doing? Enjoying December, depending on where you're at and how crazy snowy it is. If you were in the Midwest, parts of the Midwest, or if you're someplace warm and toasty, good for you. I'm enjoying being inside today with my warm cup of tea and making soup. So I'm feeling like I'm participating in the what we're supposed to do during winter kind of thing. All right, I am going to present you with maybe fun, weird facts about sex. I will post the link to the article that I found all this information on, but basically it's weird sex facts. I don't know how many of them are weird, but they're interesting. So something to throw in your little bank of knowledge, maybe some water cooler talk, depending on what happens at your water cooler. All of these fine and funky facts that I'm sharing with you today come from an article. I don't know what this thing is called. It's like one of those slideshows with like information beside it. So it's not quite an article, but kind of. I don't know what the technical word is. Somebody can tell it to me and fill me in and educate me. 21 weird sex facts that you really don't want to know, except that I kind of want to know them because they're interesting and they're little factoids and more than factoids. I'm trying to think of sex facts that I really don't want to know. Like, what is there that I really was like, yeah, I don't really want to know that. I don't know if I really have any. I'll let you know when I find them out. I'm sure there are some that I just, I don't need to know. If you have a reason to let me know your personal sex facts, then I'm probably interested in knowing them. So I know, marketing, intrigue, etc. Oh, and I should probably mention that this article, whatever this thing is called, is by All That's Interesting. So even they have internal dissonance about this apparently too. I don't know, interesting, but don't really want to know. Do those things go together? Not sure. So the first one that I will toss at you because I thought this was interesting. It's always interesting hearing about bizarre like fetishes and stuff like that. And this one I don't think I've heard of before. They list a bunch, but this one just struck me as interesting. It's called climacophilia. It is the arousal at falling downstairs. I do not think that's something I've been blessed with. Not that I fall downstairs that often to really test it out, but my experience says not so much. But who knows? Maybe I just haven't been aware of it. Another one they list here is lithophilia, which is the arousal at stone and gravel. So that's very curious. I'm wondering how many people in construction or, you know, like road work are like totally, totally down with that. So going to work for them is quite a delightful day. Or painful. I don't know, depending on how that works for you. So the next one, it's funny, whenever this comes up as a topic, people get squeamish about it, like they don't want to hear about it. And I think it's kind of funny that people see it as a negative thing and kind of gross as opposed to giving them hope for the future. And it just goes to show how American culture is so focused on the visual. And we should stretch what our visual is all about and go a little deeper into ourselves. But that's a podcast discussion for another day. Here's the fact, here's the fact that they present. As much as 30% of Americans over 80 still have sex regularly. So 30% is really low. And I'd love to know, like, when they ask that question, what do they ask? What are they looking at? What do they consider having sex? Are we talking PIV sex? Or are we talking any sexual activity? I'm kind of hoping the numbers are greater for any sexual activity. So I'd be curious to take this a step farther and know more details. And I guess I could go look at the study. And a quick look at the abstract tells me that the last sentence of it is, yet little is known about the myriad of ways older adults experience their sexual lives. The next fun fact is about STDs in older Americans and how STDs have risen greatly in the population. Some studies looking at 50 and older, some studies looking at 65 and older, which makes sense in multiple levels or on multiple levels because of the lack of sex education in that generation. So I'm sure that that's very much part of it, but it's lack of condom use because, of course, you don't need condoms to protect yourself from having a baby. And sometimes the other pieces get forgotten about. Not only in that age group, I've heard the argument in younger people forgetting that there's more to condoms than just birth control. So another fun fact about the aging population is a third of Americans aged 75 to 85 still have oral sex. So it's interesting because the number is like 31% and the other one for how many are engaging in sex is 20 to 30%. So it's an interesting thing to think the questions might lead them to oral sex is not sex. So it isn't counted in that 30%, but counted in the 31%. Oral sex, not always seen as sex, even though it has sex in the title. Anyway, so that's interesting. And it makes a certain amount of sense depending on your physical ability, right? Like your physical fitness as to what you can do. So that might be something that's easier to do. Not to mention for women, sometimes women's bodies really change and they don't always have the people, the support, the tools, the know-how to solve some of those things that might make penis and vagina sex uncomfortable. So another fun fact that skeeves most people out, not something you want to necessarily think of your grandparents doing, but remember, you're going to get old someday too. So this is a fun string of facts. 0.6 of all sudden deaths occur during sexual intercourse. And they say that that number sounds small, but the point that they're making is there's a lot of ways that one could die. And one in every 200 sudden deaths comes during sex. They are most commonly cardiac episodes or brain hemorrhages. They talk about famous people who have died during sex. And this is a great one to store in your memory banks. The first person that they mention is Pope John the 12th. He had a stroke during sex. And yes, you're right. He is a pope. Thus was supposed to be celibate. You have to wonder, was his last thought like, oh shit, I'm dying? Or, oh shit, people are going to find out I'm having sex. And maybe we should change this or something. Celebrate, not celibate. It's so funny for me to think, like, this happened in 964. So that was the year, 964. That was a long time ago. Duh, but I'm betting that he never thought that him dying during sex or even having sex was going to be something that people were going to be talking about in nearly the year 2020, and that his picture was going to be on the internet, obviously a thing that didn't exist. But my gosh, you know, you'd love to know if you could like bring him alive right now and stand him right behind me and say, you know, and have him either look at his picture and go, what am I doing? Or, oh, that doesn't look like me because they have a picture of him. If he has, you know, if it would just be like the, oh my gosh, or yeah, whatevs, you know, besides, I mean, having the internet and this computer screen in front of us would be fascinating for sure. So there'd be a lot of there to handle. But I'm just saying it's kind of a miraculous thing that some chick in Minnesota is discussing his untimely death having sex, the thing that he wasn't supposed to have. Supposedly, Pope Paul II died in 1471 as a page boy was sodomizing him, so also unfortunate. Former Vice President Nelson Rockefeller suffered a fatal heart attack in 1979, brought on by an orgasm. And they have a quote here from the New York Magazine that said, Nelson thought he was coming, but he was going, which I think is a great quote. Matthew McConaughey's dad died during sex. I was just talking about Matthew McConaughey. Weirdly enough, different context by quite a large margin. Actually, not too large. It was a discussion about him making his life on being a charming individual as opposed to having sex, but they're not all that far off from each other. So I will amend my statement. They also list David Carradine, Michael Hutchins, and Christian Digby, who I'm not familiar with, all likely died of autonomic asphyxiation. People, do not do that. It just doesn't end well for so many people. And what an embarrassing way to go. I suppose there's always that question of, was it suicide? Was it autoerotic asphyxiation? I probably need to be at the scene. Or did somebody plan on committing suicide and figured, well, if I'm going to go, let's go a little more happy? I don't know. Not trying to make light of the situation. It's just an interesting question. And the next fact, which I think is kind of funny in a not funny way, is that unfaithful men are more likely to die during sex than faithful ones. They don't really know why, but the theory is that perhaps the stress of keeping the affair a secret, also the fact that they are typically with younger women, so perhaps keeping up with them is stressful on their bodies. Some would say karma. Some would say, hey, if you gotta go, it's the way to go. Hopefully it's quick, but think about the partner who is still alive. That's like a whole freaky thing. And yes, maybe bragging rights. A little complicated if you are the wife or partner of the person who died when the mistress is the one who the act of having sex killed them. So creates a complicated relationship there. The average speed at which semen is ejaculated from the penis is 28 miles per hour. I think that's really interesting. That seems fast to me. I would expect it to have more of an intensity coming out at 28 miles an hour. Like, I would expect it to be a little more of a chew kind of stream across the room at 28 miles an hour. That just seems really fast. And of course, every guy is different, so there's that too. I was witness to a gentleman who had quite the speed and distance, and I would love to know what that was if 28 is the average. Quite fascinating. I'll leave you with one more fascinating fact. Bats engage in oral sex, both fellatio and cunnilingus. It sounds like they don't necessarily know why girl bats perform fellatio, but it sounds like it might be to disinfect the penis. And cunnilingus is performed potentially to lick out the competing sperm. So the interesting thing is the last sentence in this little discussion is, it seems that bats practice oral sex for the very same reason we do. So it makes me a little curious who was writing this article, because maybe I need to do a little more research, but that is not in my mind why women are having oral sex with men, and that is not why men are having oral sex with women. The penis in men is shaped to pull out the competing sperm, according to theories and research. So there you go. That is it for the week. I hope you feel a little bit smarter than you did a few minutes ago. You know, great, great conversation for the Christmas and a holiday table. We don't want to talk about politics. Let's talk about bat sex. I don't know which would have been worse in my house, actually. I think the bat sex would have gone over way less well. But you are welcome to give it a shot. And, you know, depending on your family, it could be a rousingly exciting discussion. And of course, if you're brave, you can get all the folks that are 65 and older in your party and hand out a survey. And again, what fun that afternoon. This is a great idea. Okay, you could create like a sex education like quiz that you could pass around to all of your baby boomer family members and make sure that they are all knowing how to practice safe sex. So you are doing wonderful things to take care of your family. And who doesn't love that? Christmas condoms for everyone. Get some peppermint flavored lube. I mean, Christmas shopping done. You are welcome. Have a great week. Check out the rest of the podcasts on Facebook and the website, sexmatterspodcast.com. You can find Patricia, who wasn't with us today, nonetheless is still here in spirit, at thepowerexchange.co. You can find her on the web. You can also find her on Facebook. She posts a lot of videos, so you get to know her well and the work that she's doing there. And of course, on her website, where she has all that is going on with her world, how to work with her, the classes she has available online, etc. And I invite you to listen to my podcast, the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, at wellnessrenpodcast.com. Of course, you can find it on iTunes, both the podcasts on iTunes at Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Come check out the Wellness Renaissance Facebook page as well. Thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.